From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. The House has left town for its week-long recess, still without a consensus candidate who has agreed to run for Speaker. Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy dropped out of the contest yesterday, stunning his colleagues. Members are pressuring Republican Paul Ryan of Wisconsin to run. And as he decides what to do, NPR's Elsa Chang reports, House Republicans remain in turmoil.
It will take 218 votes to elect a new Speaker of the House. And many Republicans are convinced the only guy who can get those votes is former vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan of Wisconsin. Ryan's already said no to the job three times. But now heavyweights in the party are trying to persuade him to change his mind. House Republican Mark Meadows of North Carolina says picking a new Speaker in the present disarray is going to be a challenge.
There are all kinds of opinions and 435 members. They will have different sets of priorities that change from time to time.
Current Speaker John Boehner says he'll remain in the job until his successor is selected. Elsa Chang, NPR News, the Capitol.
President Obama visited Roseburg, Oregon today to meet with families of the victims of last week's shooting at a community college that left 9 dead and 9 wounded. Chris Lehman of the Northwest News Network has more.
The president was in Roseburg a little more than an hour and met privately with the families. Not everyone in this rural logging community welcomed the president. Roseanne Forrester was one of several hundred protesters who lined a street near the Roseburg airport. Like many in the crowd, she accuses the president of using the shooting to further his political agenda.
If he would have just left it to the victims, then it would have been fine, but he didn't. He had to politicize it.
Hart's referring to comments Obama made about gun control the day of the shooting. Funerals for the 9 victims continue this weekend. Students will return to class at Umpqua Community College next week. For NPR News, I'm Chris Lehman in Roseburg, Oregon.
Officials in South Carolina say recent floodwaters washed out the foundations of some smaller bridges on Interstate 95, meaning for the foreseeable future, a 13-mile stretch of one of the busiest highways on the East Coast will remain shut down, necessitating detours. South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley said today the coming days are likely to be busy for a lot of people and very costly.
All you're seeing is rooftops. You're seeing boats in yards. You're seeing devastation at a level that's really hard to comprehend. I don't know what that looks like dollar-wise. I know that that's extremely painful citizen-wise.
Haley continued to urge people in Georgetown County and other coastal areas to be vigilant with fears that some rivers could still rise after last week's 20 inches of rain that fell on parts of that state. The International Monetary Fund says its members have signed off on a deal aimed at preventing corporations from skirting upwards of $250 billion a year in taxes. By unanimous vote, the 20 largest members of the IMF committing to toughening laws and boosting cross-border cooperation. Even with stocks ending the trading session little changed, one of the best weeks of the year for Wall Street, the Dow was up 33 points to 17,084 today. You're listening to NPR News in Washington. Local leaders of the United Auto Workers have signed off on a tentative contract agreement with automaker Fiat Chrysler. The latest approval comes after rank-and-file workers with the company voted against an initial proposed work deal. Details have not been released, but the new contract is said to gradually eliminate a tiered pay system at that company and allow all U.S. factory workers to reach top pay after 8 years. It would also provide the first raise in 9 years for higher-paid workers. A group of 19 Eritrean refugees have been flown from a camp in Italy to new homes in Sweden, the first volunteers under the European Union's new relocation program. Terry Schultz reports the plan envisions seeing 160,000 more such transfers over the next 2 years.
At a ceremony marking the plane's departure from Rome, Italian Interior Minister Angelino Alfano called this a victory for Europe. The first asylum seekers to be moved out of camps in overcrowded Italy and Greece to other EU countries willing to take them in. EU Migration Commissioner Dimitris Avramopoulos thanked Sweden and urged other countries to open their doors.
In the name of Europe, let's move ahead. Let's address this issue.
About 100 more people, all Eritreans, Iraqis, or Syrians, will be moved in the next few weeks. But the paths of the next tens of thousands are far from certain. Although all EU countries are now required to accept a proportional number of refugees, some governments remain unwilling to participate. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
Crude oil futures prices moved higher to end a busy trading week. The price of oil was up 23 cents a barrel to end the session at $49.66 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News, in Washington.
From the latest newscast to the newest podcast, NPR One handpicks local, national, and international stories based on what you like. Download the NPR One app, a new way to experience public radio.